And opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. This morning, I have a very wonderful guest in the studio with me. He is going to be putting on a molecular genetics laboratory skills online class, cluster regulatory interspace short pandromic repeats. Joe Dart, that's a lot for me to say and understand. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. You enjoying yourself so far?
Yes, I am. It's Fairbanks. You have to enjoy yourself when you live here.
So, tell us about your class. I mean, I'm not technical, Dave. So,
right.
Joe Dart, tell us from the beginning what you're doing.
Okay, there's a new phenomenon in biology. They've invented, or actually it was discovered, but then it was invented because it was used for something that nature didn't use it for, called CRISPR. And as Dave just said, CRISPR is an acronym that means clustered, regular, interspaced, short, palindromic repeats. You can see why we call it CRISPR, because it's too hard to say that. And what happened was they discovered that bacteria have defenses against viruses. And CRISPR was actually a defense that the bacteria had to fight a virus. And the way it worked was kind of simple. Well, complicated nature-wise. What happened was the bacteria kept a catalog of any virus that attacked it. It kept a little piece of its DNA so they would be able to recognize it if it came back again. And then it would go out, it would look for those little pieces of the DNA that are recognizable, and it would chop up the DNA that had those characteristics. So in other words, if a virus came in and it had a certain signature of DNA, the next time that would come in, the bacteria would be waiting for it, and it would chop it up. Well, it had, of course, a lot of different kind of viruses, so it turned out that it had to keep a whole library of viruses so that it could keep itself defended. When they discovered that, probably in the early 2000s, that there was something going on, but they didn't quite know how it worked. And in 2012... the problem was turned over to a woman at Berkeley, Jennifer Doudna, and a woman at the Swiss Institute, a woman named Emmanuelle Charpentier. They're two scientists. And what they did is they took a look at this thing, and they discovered that there was a thing which was named CRISPR that went out and looked for these viruses and chopped them up. Well, they got the clever idea, well, if it can chop up a piece of DNA that has a certain shape to it, why can't we tell it what shape to chop up? So in other words, what they did is they simply took this natural device and they changed it so that it became a tool for us. And it became such a great tool that every every major science group in the world now uses it. And that was it was invented in 2012. And you can imagine how good something has to be used everywhere at this point. And that's it. That's the basis of this class we're going to give. It turns out that it's very easy to use CRISPR. It's inexpensive. It works all the time, and it doesn't require a great deal of scientific knowledge to use it. Yet you can go in and you can change you can either destroy or change any DNA in any organism, living or dead, by using CRISPR. And that's why it's so exciting. And they'll be applied to agriculture, medicine, wildlife research. It'll be applied everywhere. And Alaska's got a lot of places in natural and with our nature that you could apply something like this. And so that's why I'm interested in it, because it certainly has good applications here. And I'd like to get people to look at it as a possibility. You don't want to become a professional, maybe, but it's at a level of understanding that anybody can apply it. And so I thought maybe it'd be good to have everybody know about it.
And this is an online course that you're teaching, and it starts July 27th, a Monday. And it goes through Friday, the 31st of July.
Exactly. It's 5 days. It's about an hour and a half, an hour and a half online. And it starts at 6 to 7:30 in the evening. I figured everybody want to be out of work, if anybody's going to work these days.
Now, this is what gets me, what you just described. You call this course the intro to genetic engineering with CRISPR. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's got a pretty scary name. But, you know, it's interesting. There's different ways of doing science. You know, if you started an industry, you'd have to know the entire layout of the industry before you did it. You have to know how to make the buildings and the tools and whatever. But if you're hired to work for somebody, you know, you go in and they just show you stuff. And they say, this does this, that does this, and that does this, and do your job. And that's exactly what this genetic engineering course is. You don't have to be a scientist. It's made for anybody off the street that could come in, and I can show you how to do it just as if you were just learning a little job. But it turns out to be very, very important. That's the reason why I...
How does a person sign up for this class?
There's a phone number for the university. It's 474-7021, 474-7021, and that's the summer sessions at the university. An alternative, if you want to try online, you can go to uaf.edu/summer. That's uaf.edu/summer, and both of those will get you to the right people that will allow you to sign up for it. And I'm kind of hoping that I'll get two kinds of people. One, people who might actually get into it from Fairbanks, and another group who just wants to see what's coming to town, because this stuff is coming. And what's in these labs today will be in our hospitals and in our farms tomorrow. So time to learn about it.
This is, I'm sort of in awe.
I am
that,
too.
That such a class is offered, and it's online, and it's with you directly, and it's an hour and a half each night, and you call this Introduction to Genetic Engineering with CRISPR.
Yep.
You know, this the background of being able to put something like this on and available for people. It's incredible.
Well, you know, it springs from the fact, actually, the coronavirus made this possible, because we have to social distance. So in doing so, if you want to take a course in something, you don't have any choice. You have to do it online. Well, fortunately, I happen to be a computer programmer, and I'm able to write programs that work online. So therefore, it's...
You know, you're bringing it into your bailiwick. You're bringing this class into your bailiwick with your talent.
Exactly. Applying what I think I know.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We live stream at KFARradio.com. I have a very exceptional gentleman, James Dart, in the studio with me here, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Copper River Wild, Alaska's premier dip-netting charter boats out of Chitna. Look up Copper River Wild on Facebook. Make your reservations and get ready to limit out with Copper River Wild. Fish on!
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Debbie Coates of Fairbanks, reeled in a 164.4-pound halibut. And Debbie, you purchased a Valdez Halibut Derby ticket. Sounds like you've been here before, so do you always buy a ticket?
Always.
Do you have a season pass?
I don't, because normally I only get to make it down for, you know, maybe a week, but we're gonna change that in the next few years and be in Valdez more often.
And some weeks, fish weighing under 100 pounds can take the weekly prize, but it sounds like some big halibut coming to Port Valdez. Is that what you're hearing on the radio out there?
Yes, we are. In fact, I sat next to the guy that brought in the 193-pounder at dinner last night at the Fat Mermaid, and it was a great time to sit and talk about the stories, bringing them up, you know, so... It's a lot of fun, and I'm just so happy for each fisherman that can bring up that big of a halibut. It's a great story.
Sounds like a great experience.
Most definitely. Valdez is gorgeous, and it doesn't matter how big of a fish you catch. It's always one of the most exciting places I've ever been. So absolutely wonderful people here in Valdez doing that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming down and playing.
This is Joe Prox from the Valdez Prospector. We know what you need for fishing in Valdez and Prince William Sound. Licenses, bait, derby tickets, and the best selection of tackle to help you catch your derby winner. Come on down to Valdez to enjoy some of the best fishing in the state and stop into the Valdez Prospector on Egan Drive for everything for all your fishing adventures.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Copper River Wild, Alaska's premier dip net charter and tour company, working right out of Chitna. Look them up on Facebook under Copper River Wild and book your reservations now and get ready to limit out on the Copper River with Copper River Wild.
Denali Industrial is at it again. Yep, July is DeWalt month at Denali Industrial Supply, featured by DeWalt Demo Day, Wednesday, July 15th from 10 to 2, with lunch on DeWalt from 11 to 1. DeWalt tools will be on sale all month long, with many additional sales going on the week of the Demo Day, and a super sale on the 15th only. Compos will also be there with ATVs, boats, and all the big boy toys we Alaskans love. Hey, don't miss the huge DeWalt sale all month at Denali Industrial Supply on Van Horn Road.
KFAR weather.
Looks like it's going to be a wet beginning of the work week. Isolated thunderstorms today, widespread showers and patchy fog along with a high near 60. Mostly cloudy this evening, more scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, then isolated showers after midnight, lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the low 70s. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s, and Wednesday, partly sunny in the morning and then cloudy with isolated showers and highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Joe Dart, and he is going to be putting on a nice course, Introduction to Genetic Engineering with CRISPR. Now, what does the CRISPR, a little bit more of the history on that and how they discovered this?
Well, let me go back to my own interest way back. Back in around 1973, when I first became interested in this kind of genetic stuff, I went to a school in Vermont, Goddard College in Vermont, and it's a kind of school where you actually choose what you want to learn. It's a very interesting school, And by the time I was a senior there, I was interested in DNA. So I was going to go to grad school afterwards, and I applied to Harvard University. And in the process, I interviewed with several professors down there, and it turned out that I was rejected. I was rejected, and I wanted to find out why, so I contacted them, and they said because I had no lab experience, which was justifiable. I realized that. But then, about 7 o'clock in the evening, I got a telephone call from a guy named Charlie Thomas, who ran the biological chemistry lab at Harvard, and he asked me if I wanted to work for him for a year, and then they'd get me into school. I'd have lab experience, and I jumped for it. So I went down there, and that was my experience in the lab. That's all the experience I had had up until recently. And so while I was down there, DNA was discovered, what it does, about 1952, and this was like 1973. And in the 20 years, they had learned how bacteria work and how viruses work, but they didn't know how human cells worked. Human cells are like it's like a community of things that have joined together to form these big human cells. They got nucleus and all kinds of things. So the thing is that we were confounded by it. We were just beginning to look at the science of human cells, and everybody realized that we had no access to the DNA, because you have a piece of DNA and it's made up of these base pairs. And where does one end and the other begin? It was very complicated stuff. And we had no way to cleave it, to cut things, to see, get a piece of it and look at it and see what it does. So so what happened was, it wasn't until 2012 that we finally had that tool, the CRISPR is the tool. And CRISPR came in, and it can go into this, no matter how intricate the DNA is, you can look for a stream of bases, a piece of DNA that's got a specific code to it, and you can say, cut this at this spot. And once you can do that, you can cut a piece out, put another piece in, or you
genetic can, engineering.
Genetic engineering. And that's when it truly begins. Now, they could cut some spots in the DNA before, of course. They had the ability to do that. But it wasn't at your command. You had to cut whatever it could cut. There were some enzymes around that would chop the DNA in different spots. But if you didn't have that spot, if you were looking for something else, you couldn't cut it. So it turned out that that the invention of the CRISPR was the insight that made it work. And so now we have the ability to, for example, if you have a disease, and we find that the disease is caused by a specific gene of some kind. Oh, we can shut that gene off by simply sending CRISPR and say, cut a piece out of this and shut it off.
So your class is to show everyone how this works.
Yes. What my class does is, and we're going to do this online, by the way, and I've written programs that will simulate the actual lab. We do the actual lab in normal courses, and this time you'll see the lab, a video of it, and then you'll be able to actually manipulate it artificially, an emulation. What you'll do is we're going to go into a bacteria, and bacteria are, of course, antibiotics kill bacteria. And one of the antibiotics that kills bacteria is streptomycin. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a bacteria that normally would die if it was put into streptomycin, and we're going to change its genes so that it will be protected from streptomycin, and then we're going to grow it. Mm-hmm. In a bath, a pool of streptomycin. And if it grows, it means that genetic change has taken place. And that's basically what we want to do. And that's a pretty simple experiment. But you can do the same thing for plants. You could take a plant. Like, for example, there's one fellow who his specialty is tomatoes. And what he did was he changed the genes in a tomato so that it will grow better in northern climes, like around here, for example. Tomatoes, apparently, I don't know anything about tomatoes, by the way, but from what I've read in the papers, tomatoes keep growing. They don't stop growing, so you get a lot more sunlight, and they keep growing, and it causes a problem. Well, he can shut that down by using CRISPR. He can have the tomatoes all grow just the proper amount every day in the northern climes, so we could grow normal tomatoes up here. Just an example.
Yeah.
There's another guy who his specialty is breeding dogs. And everybody that breeds knows that when you have a couple of good characteristics and you try to breed them, you also get, you inherit bad characteristics, whatever they are. CRISPR can solve that. It can get rid of the bad characteristics, which by the way, this brings it to another point. There's always restrictions on what you can do with DNA. There are only certain bacteria you can use. You can't use a bacteria that would be lethal, for example. And so you're always under some kind of constraints as to what you kind of experimentation you do. Well, with CRISPR, they've made up a rule. This rule's just in action right now. And you can't do what they call germline experiments. You can do any experiment on an animal with CRISPR or a plant or whatever that just affects that animal. But you can't do an experiment that will affect their offspring. Because once you do that, you've turned loose something that's probably not stoppable any longer. That protects us. There is a thing called...
So you have internal checks and balances.
Exactly. There's a thing called a gene drive, which is probably the most interesting thing for Alaska that there is. The way the gene drive works is CRISPR can stop DNA from functioning. So if you get a mosquito, and when the mosquito is in the egg, it has a chance to be either male or female. By applying
before I crush it. Yes. But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
I think I got a few of them today.
Yeah.
But what happens is if you go into the DNA and you destroy either the male or the female gene, the potential of that, then the mosquitoes will only produce either males or females. And you can see what that would lead to, because pretty soon you wouldn't have any mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And that's called a gene drive, which does go to the germline, which is something we wouldn't do in humans. But they've experimented with mosquitoes, like in Africa, for example. They're trying to stop diseases, so they're experimenting with that.
How often do you put on this class?
This class is we've been running it spring and fall. And it fills up. This class has been very popular. We've had, we set up a limit to how many people in the class, and it fills up every time. So it's got a lot of interest. CRISPR is it's the thing that we talk about these days. So everybody's in newspaper articles and television programs and so forth.
How many courses up at the university or like this do you teach?
This is the only one in this area I've taught. My teaching history at the university has been in computing and math. That's actually what I taught until a couple of years ago.
Two endeavors I never really liked. But good for you.
Well, you can make it entertaining, too. It's possible. Yeah. It's possible. Yeah.
So this is from 6 to 7:30, starting on July, Monday, 27th. And it goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Right.
From 6 to 7:30.
Right. And when you come out, you won't be a genetic scientist, but you will have been steeped in the possibilities. You'll see how it works. You'll understand it from the ground up. You'll see actually how the chemistry works and what you have to do. And you'll see how simple it is. It's astounding once you know something. In other words, this is something that could not have been done on the planet Earth before 2012. Nobody had ever done it before. And now anyone can do it, which is quite astounding, really.
What's the price of the course?
I think it's this is off the top of my head. I think it's about $130 or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not sure anymore about that. Don't hold me to that.
Hey,
but it's close. It
about $25 a credit hour right in there.
Is non-credit.
Yeah.
This is non-credit.
Yeah, so... It's a total of, 7.5 hours, so...
Yeah, 7.5 hours, but I've worked hard to be sure that this is...
Affordable.
It's worth it, yeah. It's worth it. I always look at it this way. If I had had the opportunity, knowing what I know now, to take a course like that, I would have jumped at it. Yeah.
Well, Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be... back after these messages, and I'm going to play for you a little bit of bumper music. Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love. again, I don't choose this stuff. It's chosen for me. We're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials. And when we come back, we're going to go into more detail into Mr. Dart, Joe Dart, and how he got to Fairbanks, Alaska, and his experiences here. We'll be back after these messages.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
A body has been found in a lake in Southern California. It's unclear if it's actress Naya Rivera, who went missing 5 days ago after renting a boat with her son. The child was found unharmed. A grim warning from a global health official.
The World Health Organization voicing concern at rising numbers of coronavirus infections.
Too many countries are headed in the wrong direction.
Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus criticizing what he calls mixed messages from political leaders.
Fox's Simon Owen, in the U.S., virus cases are soaring in several states, including Florida.
About 12% of the state's population has now been tested, some 18,000 hospitalized, though the state is not reporting recoveries.
Fox's Jeff Manasso, the White House says mortality rates are lower. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
There were 116 new COVID-19 cases reported across Alaska on Sunday, the highest daily increase so far in the state. The State Department of Health and Social Services says 93 of the new cases involved Alaska residents and 23 involved non-residents. The new cases reported on Sunday break a previous record held the day before when the state reported 77 cases. Alaska has reported now 1,774 cases of COVID-19 statewide, including 847 active cases. The state has 86 people hospitalized and 17 have had their death related to COVID-19. And finally, the fate of one of Alaska's most historic yet neglected structures could be decided today. City officials in Seward will decide whether to demolish the Jesse Lee Home, a former Methodist boarding school where the Alaska Territorial flag was first flown almost a century ago and where its Alaska Native designer, Benny Benson, lived. The Seward City Council will hold a public hearing and then decide the fate of the structure. At least one group plans to try to save the building. If successful, the Alaska Association for Historic Preservation will bring together those with historic preservation expertise to formulate a plan.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
So, how do you, that customer, know who sells the most used cars in Fairbanks?
Well, that's easy. Just ask who buys the most used cars in Fairbanks. The answer to both is Affordable Used Cars. Affordable has the best selection of clean, late model used cars, trucks, and SUVs in the state. And the home of the quick 10-minute appraisal. Stop in today and find out why more people in Fairbanks buy or sell their vehicles at Affordable Used Cars. Simple and easy. Affordable Used Cars on South Cushman.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Drive beyond the limits of the road with the Cooper Discover AT3 family of tires from GCR Tires and Service. Find the freedom of Alaska's open roads, no matter how rough. They'll take you places you've never been before. The Cooper Discover AT3 family of tires, aggressive and tough on rocks, loose gravel, and mud off the road. Exceptionally quiet and responsive when you're actually on the road. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan road, Van Horn at Cushman.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Joe Dart, and he is going to be putting on a course, Intro to Genetic Engineering with CRISPR. It's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday, July 27th through the 31st. You can go to telephone and get information at 474-7021, or you can go to website uaf.edu/summer. Now, Joe, looking at your history here, you've been up here, You got up here right when things start going nuts with the pipeline. What brought you up to Fairbanks, Alaska?
Well, it's probably the typical story. I was sitting in a restaurant one day, and I had finished teaching at the school I was at, and I was trying to decide what to do, whether to go back to programming or continue teaching or what. I didn't know what to do. So someone told me they were going to come to Alaska, and somehow that just struck me as, that's interesting. I never thought of the idea of leaving home and going someplace else. So then I jumped in my Volkswagen and came right straight to Fairbanks, and there I was. By the way, I chose Fairbanks at the junction down there at Tok, I think it was.
Yep, Tok Junction.
I flipped a coin.
Left or right?
And Fairbanks won. Because I was not willing to go to Anchorage or Fairbanks. I couldn't make my mind up. But when I got here, I loved the city. The minute I drove in, I loved it immediately. This was home. I knew right away.
Now, you got here at a booming time. I mean, that was the beginning of the pipeline where everything was went nuts. How did you find your house or housing or a place to where you didn't have to sleep in your Volkswagen?
Well.
And hold it. And crossing the border with a Volkswagen, did they tear your Volkswagen apart, you young whippersnapper Volkswagen college student engineering guy?
No, but they laughed at me. They said, how did you ever get that thing up the highway? I mean, all the way across Canada. I drove across Canada, and they asked me where I was going. I said I was going to Alaska. And they all said, you'll never make it. So I did make it. Yeah, when I crossed the border, I don't remember that any incidents or anything along those lines, but there was a lot of traffic, the trucks and everything, because the pipeline
coming up, yeah,
was in high gear. And when I got to Fairbanks, it was like something I'd never seen before in my life. I mean, the Second Avenue, which was, you know, Two Street was just unbelievable. It was just like thousands of people, and they were all doing stuff, and it just, I can't even describe it. It was like a carnival or something.
Yeah. And most of it was of nefarious type.
It was nefarious, yeah.
So how did you find a place to live when you got here, and where did you have to live for the first few days until you found a place?
Well, the first day I stayed here, I remember that, they had rooms for truck drivers down on the highway there someplace, one of the places on the highway. And before I drove actually into Fairbanks, I stopped at one of these places, and they had a bed for the night, and that's the first place I slept was there. And then after that, I came into town, and I realized right away that it was going to be hard to find a place to live because you could see that there are too many people for the size of the town. I bumped into a guy that was from, I'm from New Hampshire, and he was from New Hampshire also. And it turned out he was renting rooms, and I just stumbled right onto it, just an accident. And so down on 7th Avenue someplace, and I got a room with him, and I stayed there for quite a long time when I wasn't on the slope. I actually went to work when I first came here. That isn't quite true. I think I fibbed you there a little bit. The first place I lived at was the Monson Motel.
Oh, okay.
And Charlie Anderson ran that place. And that was just for a very short time, though. I forgot because it was just a little short time there. Mm-hmm. But Charlie Anderson did a great favor for me because when I told him I was a computer programmer, he said, why don't you go over to R&M Engineering? I think they're looking for a programmer. I couldn't believe he knew that. And there were no programmers in town. It was just, I was like one of the only ones. So I went to R&M Engineering. I got a job right away. And they were working for Bechtel. They were working for,
yeah.
We were designing the pipe, part of the pipe.
Bechtel and Fluor.
Mm-hmm. And so I got a job. Now I had cash flow. And then it was shortly after that, I bumped into Mike, this guy that gave me the room downtown, and that's where I stayed. It was a good deal. I fell right into it. Everything worked just right. And by the way, I went to work for the engineering company, and a little story there. And they would pay me, you know, whatever you pay for. It was better money than I'd ever seen in my life because prices up here are different. But engineers and we used to go down to the midnight mine, after work just for, you know,
a beer.
Yeah. And one day I was sitting there, and this guy came in with a big Texas hat, and he plunked down this check on the counter for like $2,500. I remember the numbers. And I looked at that, and I said to him, where did you get that? He says, I work on the pipeline. Well, 2 weeks later, I was working on the pipeline, too.
You're the laborers.
I went to the laborers union, and I got right. Well, the first job I got actually was for the city of Fairbanks. I worked on a garbage truck for about a week.
Yeah.
And that was where you got into the union.
Yep.
And then I went back to the hall, and they sent me up north to Galbraith, and it was the beginning of a long romance with the mountains.
Who did you work for at Galbraith?
I think I worked for Green at that particular. It was
okay, Green Construction, Green, yeah.
I believe it was Green. It's hard to remember because I worked for so many of them, but I think Green was the first one.
What did you do up there?
I was a laborer.
Yep.
Oh, what does the laborer do?
I was a laborer, too. I was a pump one.
A pump one, huh?
Yeah, you do everything.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had done just about every job, including driving even. I don't know why.
He called me a baby teamster. Yeah. I'll say to you, you know, there wasn't someone there, this vehicle had to go over here, you did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the one thing about the pipeline I liked was that you never got bored because you were in different spots doing different things, and laborers was a great job. It was the best job. Actually, I took that job. I could have taken, I mean, all of the other unions were hiring. But I thought to myself, I would like to keep moving and keep physical. And, and I thought laboring was a good thing for me, and it turned out it was. It was a good choice.
How long did you work up there?
I worked up there on and off after that for years. I mean, many years.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is I worked up there in stretches, and then I would come back to Fairbanks. And at some point, I bumped into Michelle Bartlett. She was running the non-credit part of the TVCC, the Tanana Valley College at the time. And she hired me to teach programming. And that was the beginning of the romance at the university. And I've been up there ever since, more or less.
So back in about 1976, 77, Tanana Valley Community College had someone who actually taught programming for computers.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny. You know, back when there was Fortran, COBOL, this is what it was. I mean, this is what you had the cards, you know, the Scantron cards you did that with, and boom, there it was.
Right. Well, ironically, the first course I taught up there, I taught basic programming. Basic was the name of the language.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I taught that is because Dartmouth College invented it. And the college I worked at in Vermont used the Dartmouth computer system. So I was
Goddard.
Goddard, right. They used the BASIC. I used BASIC. So when I came here, I introduced BASIC to the city pretty much because it was a non-technical language. And that was how I got started. I had this little course, and we kept doing it over and over every semester. Then we spread out into other things. That was before the microcomputer, by the way. When the microcomputer came in, then it was a different world. Then we spread out to databases and all kinds of other things that people weren't familiar with. I was very impressed with that. I always thought, you know, I'd always thought that programming would always be like it would be these technical gurus working for big companies. But when the micro came in and I saw the decentralization of democratization of that, I was very impressed that a lot of smart people came out of the woodwork, and then things really progressed after that because you get a lot of intelligence. That's like with CRISPR. I feel the same way about it. The CRISPR is the microcomputer of this age.
Yeah.
Because once people see how you can use it and how easy it is to use and where it applies, I'm hoping that same intelligence will come into play.
Fairbanks, we're going to take another quick commercial break here. You listen to KFAR Radio. I have Joe Dart, not James Dart, as the college calls him, in the studio with me here, and we're talking a little bit about him, but also about his online courses he's going to be teaching from July 27th, a Monday, through Friday, July 31st, Introduction to Genetic Engineering with CRISPR, and wowza, that's a heck of a course, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Construction season is in full swing. Independent Rentals' goal is to have the inventory and provide the tools you need when you need it to get the job done. They have new equipment arriving throughout the summer season. Contractors to homeowner do-it-yourselfers. Independent Rental has the essentials. Scaffolding, skid steers, mini excavators, lifts, drills, jackhammers, compactors, texture sprayers. You get it, and they have it. Independent Rental, helping you do work to complete the job.
Independent Rental, 2020 South Cushman. We're here to help.
If you are distressed about a decision you have made in the past, talking about it can help. Whether your abortion was last month, last year, even 30 years ago, it can still affect you today. Take the first step to healing. The PATH program is offered without charge by the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, providing a safe and confidential place to find healing. Call the Hope Line for more information about PATH meeting times. Call 907-455-8258 or visit findoutfree.com. Find Out Free.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
Are you ready to feel good, look great, and discover your darker side? Because this coming Friday's 50-50 deal is from Fairbanks' number one tanning salon, Turbo Tans. Get a certificate for 60 days of unlimited UV tanning half off. 60 days of any level booth or bed even includes the high pressure bed at Turbo Tans. So this Friday, get your 60 days of unlimited UV tanning valued at $220, yours for only $110. That's half off. That's this Friday for Turbo Tans and 50-50 Friday.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at KFAR660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at KFAR660.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Looks like it's going to be a wet beginning of the work week. Isolated thunderstorms today, widespread showers and patchy fog along with a high near 60. Mostly cloudy this evening, more scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, then isolated showers after midnight, lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Tuesday, partly sunny with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs in the low 70s. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s, and Wednesday, partly sunny in the morning and then cloudy with isolated showers and highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse and Joe Dart in the studio here. Now, Joe, in your elongated career in Fairbanks, you seem to be a very outstanding person, nice. Yet, you've come across colorful characters and done extraordinary things with those colorful characters. So how in the world did you come across Glenn Anderson to build a skateboard ramp?
Well, skateboarding was a big... First of all, I ran a skate park when I was back in New Hampshire. It was a local skateboard park. And so I was kind of interested in how it all worked. When I got to Fairbanks, there wasn't anything. There was no park. There wasn't anything. And there were a lot of young people in town that wanted to do skateboarding. So what happened was a young friend of mine, Clint Beery, he was an avid skater. He came from Juneau, and he was up here. And so he actually was the mainspring of the thing. He kind of said, let's build a ramp, a skate ramp, like one of those tall things that, you know, skaters go up and down. And so what we did is... We get together with Glenn and a bunch of other people, and we went to McDonald's and had a car wash, and got a bunch of money for it. And then we went over to the lumber company, got a bunch of boards, and built this huge ramp, which was like 12 feet tall. It was a big ramp, and put it into the parking lot of a local mall, and the. And it stayed there for the entire summer. It was quite an exciting. In fact, I think it was there part of the following summer too.
And so the governor, he was okay with it.
Yeah, Governor Hickel owned the, he wasn't the governor at the time, I don't think.
Yeah, he was real estate mogul.
Right. And yeah, he came over. I saw him inspecting it one day. He looked at it and just walked away. So he apparently didn't care that this big skate ramp was in his parking lot. It was kind of out of the way. It was in the corner. But still, it looked pretty precarious. I'd have been scared if I was him. But apparently he was a good old Alaskan and just let it go.
You know, your career in Fairbanks is across the board in things that you've done. You were the editor for 10 years for the Alaska Trapper magazine on the board of directors, and you edited a couple of books for the group.
Uh-huh.
How does someone go from writing computer programs to talking about CRISPR to being with the Alaska Trappers Association? Quite varied personality.
Master of none.
Many interests. You have many interests.
Many interests. Yes, I do. The trapping thing, I went to a trapper meeting one time, and I was very, very impressed, and always have been impressed, by the way. Randy Zarnke runs that club now.
Yeah.
Those guys, of all the groups I've ever belonged to, they are the most dedicated to the club. I mean, they actually are real. It's like when they get there, they discuss, they argue, they decide things, and they do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very impressive. I mean, it's like, if our government worked the way the Alaska Trappers Association works, we'd have a good government. I'm talking about federal. I think the Alaska Trappers are a good example of people getting together and doing the right thing, the things they believe in.
Now, from 1990 to 96, you started an animated TV advertising business. Uh-huh. That was in the beginning of it all.
Right.
Back when, you know, computer animation by yourself.
Right. It was really not easy to do. I can tell you a little bit about how that worked.
Yeah.
Well, I officially retired from the university at that point. That was my first retirement. I retired from university. And I decided I wanted to try this out. We had Macintosh computers, but you couldn't produce an image that would go directly to television the way you did today. What we had to do was we had to create the images on the screen, then print them out on paper, and then at the television studio, they had to be photographed one frame at a time. And I made quite a few ads. I must have made a few dozen ads for the station. And it was quite interesting. The whole thing was very interesting, quite different than what I was used to. I'll tell you something else, which is Fairbanks was a very advanced city in a lot of ways. When I wanted to sell somebody an ad, I'd walk in and say, "Do you want to buy an ad?" And they would say yes. It wasn't like a sales pitch or anything. It was like, "Do you want to do this?" And they would say yes. And so I'd sit down, and by the way, they weren't cheap either, because I had to spend a week getting each one ready because it was such an arduous job.
Very intricate.
Yeah, it would take me at least a week of work, and so it was expensive. And still, I made a lot of ads, and some of them may still be running on television, possibly.
Really? What were some of the more notable ones that you did?
Well, I did one for the food factory, which was quite prominent.
Was that Bob back then?
No, or not that far back.
Okay, that was when Jay Ramirez.
Ramirez, right? I did a lot of drawing for Jay Ramirez. His menus, I was drawing. That's why it led to the video thing. And I did an ad for Radine Schroeder. It was a
real estate
ad, right? And Chick Wallace did an ad for him, real estate, and there are a lot of restaurants and things like that. I did quite a few.
Get a clientele.
Yes, they were just regular people, and did a great job there. The reason why I left that business, by the way, is because I went back to work for the university.
Repeat offender, you.
Yes. That's right. Only this time I had to teach up on the hill, so it was a different.
Oh, you went to the dark side.
That's right, the dark side. But and it's quite different. It is quite different than teaching at the community college.
Yeah.
And So that was it. That's what
you know, the real estate class I teach, it's a three unit credit. It's 40 hours and it's a 3-unit credit now. So
right.
I don't know what they call me, you know, besides David, maybe a professor emeritus. I don't know. How often are you teaching up there now, still, besides this class?
Well, at this point, since 2018, I now teach each semester. I teach for Osher, lifelong learning, and we've been doing a course a semester, just one course. And by the way, we have Osher. Osher is lifelong learning. And they have elder people, older people, and I'll tell you the honest truth. And this is honest truth. They are the best students I've ever had. They want to learn. They're smart, and they've got experience, and they listen. And regular and they ask questions too.
You better have your game face on with them.
Yes, and regular college kids, you know, are sort of, they have different views, but some of them are kind of quiet and they just sort of sit through a class and they go home and do the work. But it's enjoyable to go into a class that's dynamic where people actually talk and something going on. So
you teach part-time in math and computing at UAF.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Right. Math and computing, those two go together.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
They do go together.
What sort of math would you teach?
Trig. My specialty was trigonometry.
I never took that course. Thank you very much.
I
stayed away from the math and the sciences. I really did. I was in business. I understand finance. You know, boy, I'm on that side of the equation. But, you know, I was good in geometry, but algebra, trig, calculus, not my specialty.
Right. Well, I like the way you chose. Well, not on that side of the
equation.
Instead of a real estate analogy.
I valued real estate for a number of years, and mm-hmm. you know, we had models to work with, and you know, things that you did, but I was not on the engineering side, even though I worked extensively with engineers and like yourself. So, my goodness. You know, this looking at this, 20 years of teaching part-time math and computing up there, the computing side probably transitioned so much while you were there.
It did. In fact, I went from programming to sort of closer to graphics because computing was really getting into graphics more and more. And in the end, though, what I was teaching was introductory. You know, James Watson is one of the two guys that discovered DNA, mm-hmm. how it works. And Watson insisted on teaching the introduction courses to molecular biology. In other words, he had these hundreds and hundreds of students in these lecture halls, but he wanted to be the one to bring them in the door because he had a feel for it. And I'm no Jim Watson, but I do have a feel for computing, and I love the idea of bringing people into something that they...
You come across a lot of your students?
Do I come across them?
Yeah.
You mean in town?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, all the time. In fact, that's a big problem. I don't remember everybody. They'll say hi, and they change. They get older.
Do you think you're alone in that? It happens to me all the time. I remember you, I think.
Yeah, that is a problem.
We got about a minute left, sir. How do you want to end it?
I want to end it by inviting everybody to take this course. I think anybody who has any interest, by the way, there's also on the horizon someplace, there are a lot of scientists who started to talk about extending life and really extending life. And now that we have this power over the DNA, we're good at machines once we know how they work, and we're getting more and more to know how they work. I think you might want to learn how the basics work, and this is the place to do it. Yeah, that's it.
Well, boy, thank you for coming on the show. Really enjoyed it. You know, a little bit of everything, the course you're teaching, the way you came to Alaska, the experiences you've had, you know, getting here at the pipeline, teaching at UAF, being front and center with computers and graphics up there. Really appreciate it, Joe. Really appreciate
it. Well, thank you.
Fairbanks, that is our show. You guys have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. I have Keith Kerber. He's running for State House District 4, and he will be my guest tomorrow, and you have a great day.
Yeah.